What's up, college baseball fans? Thank you for listening to episode 3 of the 2020 season edition of the 11.7 podcast. On today's episode, I will be discussing some really interesting stuff about the business side of college baseball. Wednesday, January 29th, and welcome to the 11.7 podcast. Today, James will not be with us, so I will be doing this show single, aka solo, aka by myself, which reminds me that since opening day this year is on Valentine's Day, if you're out there and you're single, or you're by yourself, have nothing else to do, come out to the ballpark. Doesn't matter what school you support, or what school that you root for, find your local or nearest college baseball field, because on February 14th, the games kick off, and it's going to be a beautiful, beautiful opening day atmosphere that everybody just loves and looks forward to throughout the whole offseason. So if you're single and you have nothing going on, come out to the ballpark. Hey, and you know what? For everybody out there that's in a relationship, you guys come too. We'll have a good time. Because there's nothing like an opening day for college baseball. You have both teams' aces on the mound. You got players playing with energy you won't see from the rest of the season until they get to the playoffs. It's just something that builds up and builds up for 6 months in the offseason. Everybody's tired of doing offseason workouts and weight training and running sprints and waking up early. No. They sleep in that day, they go to class, maybe get out of class a little early, and they go and play in front of the home crowd. And it's even better, in my opinion, to start the season on the road. Why do I say that? I say it because I've done it before. Starting the season on the road, you leave Wednesday night or even Thursday, you miss class those days. And it's just great because you get to focus on nothing but baseball. So, anyways, back to where I want to take this show. Go out to whatever opening day you want. That has nothing to do with the show. Anyways, here we go. So this show is going to be something that provides a lot of value to you, I think. Because if you're listening to this, that means you're interested in college baseball. Great, so am I. Let's talk. There's a lot that goes beneath the surface in college baseball, per se. The business side of college baseball is not out there. It's not public, really, to anybody, because it's so different, and it varies from top to bottom. You have teams like Vanderbilt at the top who have all of their business stuff taken care of. Meanwhile, you have teams at the bottom, you know, ranked 300 as far as, you know, sales and revenue generated go. And so it's not like the MLB where you have 30 teams that, you know, somewhat are on an equal playing field. And I know there's some exceptions out there. College baseball is different. So I wanted to use this time to provide value to you and tell you that I've been taking some time this offseason, probably the last 2 or 3 months, and really started focusing on writing a college baseball book. There's nothing out there that I can really find that's about the business side of college baseball, and it's something that I love researching because I want to grow the game. I want this game to be as powerful as college basketball and college football. And people might say, keep dreaming, kid, because it's never going to happen, and they're probably right. But what I wanted to do is just grow this game because I do think it has a ton of potential. I think that it's just on the very edge of where it can be. I think it's going to continue to grow every year until the end of time because there's a lot of cool things, a lot of very valuable things that college baseball has that they haven't even put out resources towards or used any sort of effort to make those things unique. So basically, to sum everything up right now, I'm writing a college baseball book. I have my notebook right here. So it's a 70-page spiral. It's not all the way filled up, but I did fill up most of it, and I have typed out a little bit of it. But this notebook just has all of the bullet points and quotes and stories that I thought were valuable, and that's how I'm going to structure this book off of. So I have the chapters laid out. I know what I want my chapters to be about, and I'll have to keep turning through these pages until I find it, but I know off the top of my head what they really are, and it's, you got a little bit of advertising talk in there. You got, you know, building a sales team. You have selling sponsorships. You have adding stadium renovations and really investing into your baseball field. And one of the, we can talk about all that another time, or if you're really interested, you can send me a text or shoot me a DM. But one of the things that I think is the most valuable, at least in terms of looking at college baseball as becoming a profitable sport for your athletic department, is seeing your baseball field and your baseball facilities as real estate, okay? So there's a lot of multimillionaires out there that make their money by real estate development and real estate sales and just upgrading their real estate to make it sell more than what they bought it for. House flippers and wholesalers, things like that. And I'm not the expert in that category. That's more James. So I'll leave that to him. But if you look at your college baseball facilities as an athletic director, and I want to really talk about this a lot in the book, put yourself in your athletic director's shoes. If you want to make this field or make this facility worthwhile and a real asset to your athletic department, you need to invest in it. You know, you need to draw people to the games, keep them entertained, all that. But the quickest way to do that is by having a clean stadium, by having clean bathrooms is very important. It's hard to get mama out of the house when there's no clean bathrooms at the place she's going to. Concession stands, like food options, beer options. I know there's some stadiums out there that can't legally sell beer, and I understand that, but there's a lot that don't have restrictions. You know, sell beer. You know how many people would just go out on a Saturday afternoon, sit down, watch baseball, drink some beer, especially down here in the South where I'm living at? It happens all the time. I've seen Mercer baseball attendance skyrocket since they built a brand new ballpark where they started selling beer at the stadium. I mean, the attendance from my junior year when we had our old stadium to our senior year when we had our new stadium was probably 2.5-3 times as much. So investing in the field, making it nice, making it a good place to go take a family or take a group out to, that's what your goal should be. And sure, it might cost money now, but if you look at some of the most successful real estate developers, they had to spend money. They had to take out loans, make sure their first one was successful, and then look at them now. Like, now their piece of property is worth so much more than what it was when they first invested in it that they're making a ton of money off of it. And I know some athletic directors probably think that way, but a majority of them don't. A majority of them don't. They don't want to invest into a sport that doesn't make them money. They want to invest in football. I get that. They want to invest in basketball. I get that. The sports that make them money. I mean, I could see that too. I could see myself being in that position. You know, it's a lot easier to go to donors and go into sponsors and say, these are the sports that are going to have the most attention on them. These are the sports that are going to have, I don't know, the most money involved, where you can get your brand recognized. I get that. But I think, and I'm not even going to say I think, I know that college baseball can get to over 80% out of all 300 teams 80% of them can become profitable by just taking a few extra steps, by putting in some sort of effort, just a little bit of effort. Pay attention to your guys. Make your college baseball team as noticeable as your college football team. And sure, social media plays a big part in it, and media in general. College baseball, for the most part, isn't broadcasted on ESPN. You got to go through ESPN Plus, which is a huge asset in the realm of college baseball that nobody talks about. The streaming service is available now. You have all sorts of different platforms that you can watch games on from all across the country. And that's fantastic. That's fantastic. ESPN Plus, SEC Network, ACC Network, Longhorn Network. But even on the lower end, you have OVC Digital Network. You got SoCon Digital Network. They've been around for 5+ years. They do a great job. But nobody wants to really advertise for that. Nobody wants to put in effort and make those streaming services more valuable to the schools and to the conferences. They're just there. Like, oh yeah, basically they take the effort of, oh yeah, you know, the families who live out of state will probably watch this game, and that's about it. Well, for a lot of you guys that don't know, I was a color commentator for Mercer home games for ESPN Plus. Like, I was employed by ESPN to do the home games, and I remember the numbers that they would show me of streaming was just almost embarrassing. I mean, there were games where less than 50 people in the nation were watching the games, or watching that game. And I understand, Mercer, you know, Mercer versus Furman on a Saturday afternoon probably isn't going to have a ton of viewership. I get that. It wouldn't interest anybody who didn't either play at either one of those schools or know anybody playing at one of those schools. But this off season and this fall, I caught myself watching like BYU play against Utah State in football. Why? I don't know, because I was marketed it 100 times in my face, ESPN, Saturday night game, 8:30 Eastern time, catch BYU versus, or actually it would be like catch LSU play Missouri. And after that, at 11:30 Eastern time, you get BYU versus Utah State. Stick, you know, stay with us. That's the kind of thing. And that's the kind of effort that they put out there, and subliminally, you think, oh yeah, I'm going to watch this LSU game, and then I'm going to watch this BYU game. Simple. And so, going back to the book that I'm currently writing, and I don't know if it'll ever get published. I'm not saying it will. I'm actually pretty sure it won't. I'm definitely going to put it online in some sort of PDF file, but I don't think any publisher is going to want to pick up this book because, in his eyes, there's not going to be a ton of people interested in it. The business side of college baseball. Ha ha ha. Okay, man, it's not a business. It's basically just a hobby. It's just a spring sport. That's all it is. And, I mean, this stuff gets me fired up. But going back to the book, one of the first things I talk about are breaking down the revenue streams and the expense streams. All right, so just to list off a couple of revenue streams for college baseball programs, and you get tickets, sponsorships, television, live streams, fundraisers, concessions, parking, merchandise, prospect camps, all of those plus more are revenue streams for these college baseball programs. And so their job is to make that money greater than the expenses throughout the season, which can add up. College baseball is a very expensive sport. That's why you don't see every school having a college baseball team. Between the coaching staff salaries, between equipment, field maintenance, uniforms, travel, hotel and travel, plus food added onto that, that gets expensive. You got game day staff, you got recruiting, you got sales teams that you have to pay. There's a lot of expenses that go into college baseball. And so throughout the book, I'm breaking down each revenue and each expense. And how to increase the revenue streams and how to decrease the expense streams. All right, so if you follow along, I think that's one of the first chapters I'm going to make, just because I think it's kind of like the fundamentals in sports, honestly. Like, get the basics out of the way first, so that way throughout the read you understand the more complex stuff. It's like a textbook, college baseball textbook. But yeah, so ticket sales are one of my most important things that can be influenced on whether it's a good revenue stream or a bad revenue stream. The teams that have the most money sell the most tickets, and that's just facts. You go around and look at the highest attendance on average per game, and the numbers just stick out right in your face. Teams like LSU, Mississippi State, even teams outside of the SEC, you got teams like Indiana and Purdue that actually sell a pretty decent amount of tickets. And I think those were the two in the Big Ten that sold more than I thought. Teams out west don't sell a ton of tickets. Oregon State does. They do a fabulous job. But Cal and UCLA, there's a lot going on in those parts of the country, so they don't sell as many tickets, and that's why they're not profitable. The teams that are the most profitable are the ones that sell tickets. Let me get that through your head. You get more people at your game. They're paying, at some ballparks, they're paying for parking from the get-go. Then they buy their tickets. They're going to have to buy concession stand food, hot dogs, sodas, beer. Beer is always a plus. We already talked about that, but that's just pure profit coming out for you. You have merchandise in the stadium. And let's get this straight. If you have a college baseball stadium, please, please, please have some sort of team store. It can be a little shed that sits on the side of the left field line. Who cares? It can be built into the stadium, or it can be a tent you set up next to the bullpen. It does not matter. Have a place where you can sell your trademark, like your logo that you have trademarked that nobody else can sell. Take advantage of that. Take advantage of selling t-shirts, hats, koozies, flags, anything and everything. Have a few available at every game at least. Because I promise you, there's some little kid like I used to be, you know, walking around Rice University Stadium and not seeing a team store. That's the bottom line. You never know when there's going to be that parent that flies in from Ohio to watch her son play, and she can't buy any merchandise besides maybe the bookstore all the way across the other side of campus. So merchandise is key, because you can also sell that stuff online. There's ways now where you can just send that stuff into Amazon, and people can buy that stuff from Amazon, and they'll ship it out for you. So merchandise is going to be a big part of my book. I mean, it has to be. The school, Dayton University, has the Dayton Flyers logo, and nobody else can profit off of it except for them and whoever else they allow. So why not take advantage of it? It's pretty simple. So we just briefly touched on tickets and merchandise. Another huge revenue stream that I'm going to dive into my book, sponsorships. And you got to have different levels of sponsors. You got to have community outreach, you know, the big businesses in town that people are familiar with. Have them be a part of your program. Convince them to be a part of the whole athletic department. That is guaranteed money. It benefits both people, both parties. They get exposure, they get certain benefits, and they look like they're supporting the local college. Meanwhile, you're getting money, you're getting recognition, you're getting people at your games. Sponsorships are key. So I break them down into different sponsors, and you got corporate partners who are your biggest. You want to limit that to anywhere from 2 to 5. You know, don't let them be competing industries either. You're going to have one doctor, one bank, one car dealership, one dentist, you know, stuff like that. You don't want to have 3 car dealerships and 2 banks, because then they feel like they're not as important. So those corporate partners, keep them limited, but keep them fairly expensive because their benefits, they're going to get benefits that nobody else will. You can have stadium sponsors. You can have TV and live stream commercial sponsors, single game sponsors, someone that just wants to sponsor, you know, I'm a local dentist and I want to hand out toothbrushes at the front gate to the first 500 fans. Okay, awesome. You know, it's going to cost you X amount. And as long as you bring the toothbrushes and you hand everything out, perfect. You're a single game sponsor. That works for us. You know, that's free, not free money, but it's money into our pockets. And you can also have like signage around the ballpark. And so I'm going to break down the hot spots at where major league ballparks take advantage of their signage. For example, I know that like Minute Maid Park has an Uber lot that they have signage all around for Uber exits and Uber waiting areas. That's genius. That stuff is genius. Why can't we take advantage of that at the college level? Doesn't make sense to me. But yeah, so those are some of the revenue streams that I talk about in the book. I mean, I dive into each thing I listed at the beginning of the show. I just don't want to bore you guys too much. Flipping through, going through expenses. I can't even find the page right now, but I'll go ahead and start with one of the expenses that I know off the top of my head. Coaching staff. I know coaches, first of all, I don't even want to dive into only two paid assistant coaches and one head coach, but their salaries do get a little expensive, all right? So baseball coaches are really the only coaches that, out of all the sports, that have to be physically active enough to participate in every practice. They're hitting fungos, they're throwing live BP, they're fielding balls, they're moving around more than any other coach. You don't see really like football coaches like pushing sleds or kicking field goals or anything. College baseball coaches come at a price, and there are some that make over $1 million. There's, I think, a list of 12 head coaches that make over $1 million. That is a lot of money. That is a lot of money. Even though a majority of them make between 60 and 100K as a head coach, that's still money coming out of your athletic department budget. So between that and a pitching coach and a hitting coach, you're sitting somewhere between 150 and 200K at any sort of like small school. I mean, when I say small school, I'm saying like mid-major program. So between the coaching staff salaries, that takes a big part out. I mean, that takes a big cut out of your revenue and expenses stream. Your equipment is very expensive unless you're sponsored by some kind of Adidas or Nike or Under Armour or New Balance, where they send the stuff for pretty dirt cheap just to have you wear. But in order for that to happen, you got to have a pretty decent team with pretty decent following. But yeah, you got field maintenance stuff, you got nets and screens and field equipment. I mean, bats and gloves are not cheap, and most schools get that stuff for free when you're a player there. The field maintenance stuff we talked about is like tractor or mower. You got to have a lot of spray paint. You got to have the batter's box outlines. You got to have a tarp, which is more than most of our cars. I mean, tarps are not cheap. And then you also just have, I mean, the main one that I talked about a little bit earlier in the show is the travel expenses. Between booking over 30 hotel rooms or 20 hotel rooms, you get a bus, you have to feed the kids every meal, you got to entertain the kids when they're not playing. All of that stuff, traveling is expensive, and you're traveling at least 28 games a year, at least. That's a ton of money. Ton of money just getting spent on travel. And then you also have recruiting, which also kind of goes into travel. You got travel and hotel and food and official visits. All that stuff costs money. So there is a big uphill battle between keeping college baseball profitable. A handful of schools do it, and they do it every year. And there's more and more every single year that become profitable. Schools like Coastal Carolina make a profit every year. But it is an uphill battle that these programs have to overcome. And they're doing it basically by themselves. A lot of the athletic departments don't help much. They don't have full-time sales staffs that are going out trying to sell tickets, trying to sell sponsorships, trying to have people cold call 100 times a day to sell many 5-game plans, 10-game plans. They don't have that. And they should. They absolutely should. Have current college students in the School of Business that want to get into sales or sports management, have them come in, real-time job. Give them commission. They sell a sponsorship for $3,000. You know, they get a 5 to 10% commission on that. College kids would love to make money. Are you serious? You know, they sell 5 season tickets, $500. Give them 10% of that. That $50 goes a long way to them. Have a full-time sales staff. That's something that can tremendously improve your revenue. Am I wrong? You're not. These kids aren't going to be on salary. They'll be on commission and scholarship. That's enough for them. These kids aren't, you know, supporting a family of 4. It's just basically supporting themselves. And if they have a girlfriend or boyfriend, yeah, sure, maybe help them out every once in a while. But let's build full-time sales staffs in these college baseball organizations and programs. Have kids interested in wanting to get into the world of sports. Have them get their foot in the door with their team and their college that they go to. Sell tickets and sponsorships. Ticket packages are huge. Group tickets are huge. If you can go to a church and pitch them the idea of selling, you know, 80 tickets to a church, every ticket comes with a free hot dog and a free drink, and the tickets are only $10, churches would love that. They can all come out wearing the same, you know, the same shirts. I'm sure you've watched like either an MLB game or a minor league game where a church will come out and they'll all wear the same shirts and sit together, and they have a great time every single time because the camaraderie there and the external entertainment that they get, that's the kind of stuff that these guys look for. And for $10 a ticket, that's not much. That's about as cheap of entertainment they're going to find. So have somebody, have 1, 2, maybe even 3 people full-time calling group tickets. Churches, elementary schools, middle schools, high schools, nonprofits. You can even do like Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts. All these organizations love outside entertainment where they're not trapped in a room together forever. That's where I would start if I was a college baseball program wanting more revenue. I would start by forming together interested current students into becoming a sales team. That's what I would do. But like I said, that stuff gets me fired up, and I'll talk on it forever. I can dig more into this book and everything, but I felt like this was the best way for me to kind of provide value to you guys today. You know, doing it by myself, doing it solo, it's not easy. This is hard. This is very hard. I wish James was here. I mean, I wish I was talking to somebody else, you know. At least I wish I was interviewing a player or a coach. It came up so last minute, I didn't have a chance to do that. But as somebody who has been around the game and has worked in or around baseball his whole life, you know, played 4 years college baseball, coached a summer league team, you know, I was an ESPN3 color commentator, you know, host of the number one college baseball podcast. All that stuff is great, but something that I think kind of outweighs all of those right now is that I helped start up the Make and Bacon baseball team and was the first hire on their sales staff. And that's where I learned the importance of revenue and expenses And even though you don't have to pay the players, you still have to be profitable at the end of the year. And those core values that I learned as far as selling tickets, selling sponsorships, making sure the players, coaches, and fans are all there in an enjoyable atmosphere with entertainment going on, very, very cheap entertainment going on. Those were the things that I think I learned the most about and want to, I guess, push hard for colleges out there to do similar stuff to what we did, because the Macon Bacon right now, they're going into year three, and they're going to be probably top 10 in attendance and top 10 in revenue for all summer collegiate league teams across the country. So they did it the right way. I learned a lot, but I felt like discussing with you guys the value behind and the business structure behind college baseball, I felt like you guys would be really interested in that. And you know, if you like I said, if you're interested more, please come talk to me. Send me a DM, send me a text. Those are the conversations that are always fun to have, like strategizing behind growing this beautiful game and hopefully taking it all the way to as popular as that is humanly possible for this game. So just remember, invest in college baseball, because I think this is a ticking time bomb and it's going to explode with popularity. If you could ask me 5 years ago to invest in college baseball, I would have said, absolutely, let's do it, and I would be very happy with my results. And that's only in just 5 years. All right, so just think 5 years down the road, how much more business savvy this game is going to be. And I hope one day I get to lead the charge, or at least be a part of it. So anyways, I appreciate you guys listening to me. I'm almost out of a voice right now, so but no, I really do appreciate you guys, and I will be available. You guys just come talk to me. So with all that being said, enjoy your week. I will be back, I think, Monday when I get back from Vegas. Enjoy your Super Bowl weekend, though, and we will have a great show ready for you after that.